Now's the perfect time to start planning your paint projects. Blaine's Farm and Fleet is your one-stop shop for all kinds of painting needs, from brushes, rollers, and paint trays to drop cloths, ladders, you name it. Shop great prices in-store or online at farmandfleet.com.
An industry that feeds the world is definitely an industry worth talking about. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Oh, and I am thinking about you this morning, hoping that the cows are helping to keep the barn warm, because I'll tell you what, zero this morning on the thermometer looks attractive across the state. Morning, everybody. I'm Farm Director Pam Youngke. It is a Tuesday, the 25th day of January, and it feels every inch like January out there this morning. Almost everybody has got some kind of weather advisory in effect today. Most for wind chill advisories. We're going to see sunshine today, but it is not going to warm us up. Daytime highs today, no better than 5 degrees. And when you factor in those wind chills, we are going to be minus 14 and colder. Tomorrow's sunshine and 9 above. Thursday, the warmest day of the week. Cloudy skies and 29 with the possibility of snow in the forecast. We'll check in with Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist. Also, John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, is stepping in to give us an update on the markets. Plus, the state of Wisconsin looking to non-traditional workforce options when it comes to helping agriculture and agribusiness. Stephanie Hoff's got an interesting story about some of those non-traditional workforce employees at the Waupun Correctional Farm. Stick around. What do you need to know to participate in carbon markets, and what's your game plan for weed control given supply chain shortages? I'm Pam Youngke, and I'll be broadcasting live with the Wisconsin Corn Soy Expo, February 3rd and 4th, Kalahari Resort in Wisconsin Dells, brought to you in part by the Wisconsin Soybean Association. Check out the program and get registered today, cornsoyexpo.org, and plan on joining us for 2 days' worth of Wisconsin's premier grower event, Wisconsin Corn Soy Expo, February 3rd and 4th in the Dells. Your relationship with your agribusiness providers could mean more this year than ever before. I'm PM Youngke, inviting you to join us for the conversation. February 3rd and 4th, Kalahari Resort in Wisconsin Dells for the Corn Soy Expo, Wisconsin's premier grower event. Register today at cornsoyexpo.org. And while you're there, plan on joining me as I broadcast with my friends from Compeer Financial on the trade show floor. Compeer Financial, committed to agriculture and rural America. Go to compeer.com, and we'll see you on the trade show floor.
Well, a lot going on at the state level with the Wisconsin FFA, with a new transition into the FFA advisor role at the state level. Aaron Zimmerman here from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison. And Stephanie, you had the chance to talk to the incoming new state FFA advisor to hear what she's planning and why she's excited to get into the position.
That's right, Aaron. We will be seeing a new leader in agriculture education. I'm Stephanie Hoff from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison. Come January 31st, Sally Ladson will start her position as the Agriculture, Food, and Natural Resources Education Consultant at the State Department of Public Instruction. In that role, she'll also be State FFA Advisor. Her and I talk about what it means to her to walk in the shoes of the late Jeff Hicken, who she considered a mentor. But first, she's certainly qualified for the job. She tells me about her strong background in agriculture, education, and leadership.
Yeah, so I actually grew up near my family's hog, beef, and crop farm. My dad worked for my grandpa farming the land, and I like to say that once you're born into agriculture, it's kind of hard to take it away from you. So it's kind of like a bug that once you get it, you can't get rid of it, because I have kind of fallen in love. So I helped out very minimally on the farm. I got dropped off at the farm, but always just kind of played in the shop with my dad while he was working, rode in the tractors and combines with him, but never actually learned to drive a tractor or combine from him. And when I started agricultural education in eighth grade, I decided to start an SAE project. And initially my SAE project was researching berries, because I thought that I would be interested in plants. And then quickly shifted gears, because I got to sit at the fair for a few days with some of my friends and realized this fair thing is kind of fun. I should maybe look into this. So decided to start raising pigs instead, which was a total shift in gears. Like I said, my dad had been working with pigs for a long time, but had actually sold the pigs several years prior, and so decided that that was the venture to start, and thought that it would be a cool experience to learn with my dad and kind of start this business. And then actually my eighth grade year, my dad was diagnosed with cancer and ended up passing away my freshman year. So it became more of a learning experience rather than learning by doing with him. I got to learn vicariously through him as he was giving me directions at first. And then once he had passed, it was very much trial by fire. And if you talk to my sister and I, we'll give you lots of fun stories of learning opportunities that we had from raising pigs on our own and not knowing a whole lot about what we were doing at first. So great learning experience. But in the passing of my dad, we actually had several neighbor agriculturists help with harvesting crops that year and keeping things going while he was sick. And I think that just really showed me the power that the agriculture community has. And again, agriculture is one of those bugs. Once you've got it, you can't get rid of it. And once you experience that power in that community, it's really quick to see that that's a community you want to be a part of and stay a part of. And so I kind of attribute that to my desire to stay in agriculture, and obviously continued throughout high school with agricultural education, FFA, went on to be a state FFA officer, and decided to pursue a career as an agriculture education teacher. Now at Sauk Prairie, I've been fortunate to be able to teach both agriculture and biology, which has been a really unique experience, bringing the agriculture classroom into the biology room and vice versa, getting kids to realize, just last week, you know, when you learn about photosynthesis in biology, it's the exact same process as when we talk about it in our agriculture class. And so making those connections for students and helping them realize how much of a real-world application these concepts have has been really fun for me.
Yeah, the switch from the student to the teacher. Now you are that model for students to get involved in agriculture. And that's kind of the same story for this next role as state FFA advisor. You were a state FFA officer, and now you'll be advising the team. Was being a state officer a big part of you choosing your role with the Department of Public Instruction?
Yeah, I would say that definitely exposed me to the role more and gave me kind of an inside look at how to serve agricultural education in a different type of way. I'm really fortunate to work with my coworker Troy Telford right now in teaching students about agriculture and making a difference for the agriculture community. But in the new role, I'm excited to see that impact in a different way. So rather than directly working with students, finding ways to empower teachers to best meet student needs. And also just working with teachers to figure out how can I help, how can I be of service to them, and how can the Department of Public Instruction make sure that it's doing everything it can to empower career and technical education for years to come.
And we've been honoring the late state FFA advisor Jeff Hicken, who had been a part of your state FFA officer experience. How did he help you as an ag leader and educator?
I actually was fortunate to know Jeff before stepping into the role of a state officer. He, at one point in time, was living in the Sauk Prairie community after leaving the classroom to move up to the Department of Public Instruction. And so knew him a little bit through the community and also as an alumni member. And so got to know him and his family. So then when I was elected to state office, it was kind of a nice reconnection to be able to see him in a new role. Obviously, I was no longer the 12-year-old kid, so that was kind of fun too. But definitely felt like he was a mentor for myself. And being a state officer, I will give Cheryl Zimmerman a lot of credit. She does a lot of the direct work with state FFA officers, but Jeff's role definitely was one of support and trying to help out wherever possible. And when I look at state office, I'll tell people a lot, your first year of state office, if you have the opportunity to be elected, is really about serving the members. And then if you get the opportunity to be elected to president, shift changes a little bit because your focus is still on the members, but you're trying to find ways to prepare your teammates to best serve the members. So it's just kind of a mindset shift of rather than being the one directly impacting members at a given moment through things like chapter visits, you're helping your teammates learn how to do that same process. And so Jeff was definitely a helper throughout that process in addition to Cheryl Zimmerman. And my state president year, we had some unique circumstances occur, and Jeff really stepped up as a supporter for me in my life and was in contact with me pretty frequently. And so definitely became someone that I felt like I could lean on and go to for some advice. And honestly, throughout this whole process, that's been one of the hardest things is I've told my husband numerous times, you know, I just want to call Jeff and ask him his opinion on this and see what he says. And so definitely grateful that we've had some time to acknowledge all of his work and honor him in some really special ways, but definitely still missing him as an agricultural education community.
Thank you, Sally, for sharing that with us. Is this what made you decide to pursue this position with the Department of Public Instruction?
I think as I talked about that shift from being a sectional officer to a state president, I think that kind of emulates the shift that I'm kind of envisioning this becoming. I have loved teaching in the classroom and love bringing experiences to students, but feel like I can serve the agriculture community in a different way through this position. And so I think this is very similar. Just like when I was the state president, shifting focus from me impacting members to how can I better prepare my teammates to impact members, now it's kind of shifting that to the classroom level. And rather than me directly educating students, how can I help empower teachers and provide them with the tools they need to best educate their students? And so I see that kind of a parallel type of shift and just excited for an opportunity to hopefully help agricultural education move forward and continue to be the strong programming that it has been and will hopefully always be.
Well, Sally, you're clearly passionate and excited. Do you have any new goals for this new role?
Yeah, so I definitely want to get my feet wet before I set any hard and firm goals, but I think the first and foremost thing that is going to be on my mind, as the position has sat pretty much vacant for quite some time with members at DPI trying to fill in the gaps as best as they can, my focus is going to be making sure that the train stays on the tracks and we keep moving forward on some of the initiatives that have already been set forth, and we provide that stable foundation for agriculture teachers across the state. Once that's been accomplished, then definitely looking forward to setting some new goals and finding ways to continue to advance agricultural education. But I think, again, with this kind of lapse in time, it's important to just make sure that we've got that strong foundation before we start trying to build anything new.
Yeah, especially as the pandemic kind of derailed everything. But we're excited to touch base with you as you get going in this position. Sally, before we say goodbye, how are you wrapping up your time at Sauk Prairie High School?
Right now, getting ready for moving into the springtime type activities, which sounds a little crazy, but we just announced at our last FFA meeting, you know, leadership development events are coming up quick. So if you want to be participating in a speaking contest, you got to get practicing. So it seems far off now, but time is definitely rolling by quickly. So preparing students for those types of opportunities is on the forefront. And just looking ahead to how can we gear up for the second half of the year and make sure that our students are getting all of the opportunities that they want.
It is crazy how time flies, especially in an FFA year. Sally, I appreciate your time today. We will keep in touch. Again, that was Sally Ladston, who will start her position as the Agriculture, Food, and Natural Resources Education Consultant on January 31st. That role is with the Department of Public Instruction. It also includes the position of State FFA Advisor. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Stephanie Haw.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison invites you to follow the yellow path all the way to some serious cash prizes in our Wizard of Draws promotion, where we're giving away up to $63,000 in cash prizes. It all happens Sunday afternoon, January 30th. Three winners will be chosen every half hour from noon until 3 p.m. Each winner will start with $500 and then select bricks along the yellow path. Every brick reveals either a cash prize to add to their total or a witch that will end their game. This January, there's no place like
Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison.
As a contractor, time is money. At Advanced Concrete, we pride ourselves on excellent service, like being on time with your delivery, having prompt and experienced drivers. We think you'll agree, Advanced Concrete outperforms the other guys.
The concrete producing company, the contractors rely on Advanced Concrete.
Producing concrete foundations to maintain concrete relationships.
How is it that we can have smoker's lines without ever smoking?
A skincare minute with skincare expert Michelle Neeson.
Smokers or lip lines can occur not only because of smoking, but other factors, such as talking, drinking from a straw, genetics, and age-related fat loss. The most simple and effective treatment for this problem is a combination of dermal fillers such as Juvederm, which can smooth and fill those fine lines as well as hydrate the lips. Also, a neuromodulator such as Botox can be used in small amounts to relax those pursing muscles. At Rejuvenation Clinic of Sauk Prairie, this treatment results in a natural, more youthful appearance of the mouth and often lasts a year or longer.
Let your natural beauty shine through.
Visit us at rejuvenationclinicofsaukprairie.com.
Here we use a lot of F words: food, fiber, and farming. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Well, and the obvious F word that we're using this morning: frigid. Oh, yeah. Let's talk about it. Stumach Ag Meteorologist joining us this morning. Boy, yeah. And it's about as good as it's going to get today. I was mentioning earlier, if you're seeing zero on the thermometer, you are about as warm as anybody in the state is, huh?
Right now, yeah. But I expect today we'll get single digits above zero at least.
Well, we feel it, though, with the wind.
Yeah, that's the big deal. The wind chill advisory in effect until noon. And that includes everybody, Berlin, Beaver Dam, but not Fond du Lac, not under the wind chill advisory. We all joined that club, though, tonight. A wind chill advisory goes in effect from 8 p.m. until noon on Wednesday, when wind chills could easily be down at 30 or even 35 below, and there's not a lot of wind, just a lot of cold air building in. High pressure, the name of the game, keeping it clear and pretty quiet today. Fortunately enough, so not major wind chills in store, but I do anticipate that a warm front tries to approach that warms us up Wednesday night into Thursday, and there could be just a little snow Thursday with that warm-up, and we'll cool it off again, but stay a little closer to normal as we look toward the weekend. I'll have forecast details right after this.
Input costs, succession planning. Where are these markets going? They're talking about it all at the 2022 Wisconsin Corn Soy Expo. I'm Pam Yonke, and I'll be broadcasting live from the trade show floor with my friends from Compeer Financial, committed to agriculture and rural America. Find out more about them at compeer.com. Register today for the Corn Soy Expo at cornsoyexpo.org. Then plan on joining us at the Kalahari Resort in Wisconsin Dells February 3rd and 4th for Wisconsin's premier grower event.
Farmers understand return on investment. They understand the power and the value of the sun.
Cameron Olson, owner of Olson Solar Energy.
This is just another opportunity for them to look for that power and that value. It's a business decision. Everything that farmers do and don't do on their land and their with their property is money. So one of the things that I heard one farmer say, it's a crop that I am yielding. instead of harvesting corn on this little section, he's harvesting sunlight to make electricity. You should reach out to us, and we will come out there for a very specialized, specific quote for you to look at your farm. We can put solar anywhere. We can put it on a barn. We can put it on the ground. We can put it on a hill. So we can put it anywhere that makes sense to you and your farm and your situation. And then once we design that, even powering your whole farm, you can harvest enough sunlight to have a $0 energy bill.
Go to OlsonSolarEnergy.com to start saving. Go green, save green with Olson Solar Energy.
It is Wisconsin's premier grower event, Corn Soy Expo 2022, February 3rd and 4th, Kalahari Resort in Wisconsin Dells. I'll be broadcasting with my friends from the Wisconsin Soybean Association. Data, data, data. You're generating it on your farm. How can you use it to find profitability this year? We're also looking at the high input costs farmers are facing of all sizes. How can you minimize that bill? CornSoyExpo.org. Broadcasting live with the Wisconsin Soybean Association. We'll see you there. All righty, Stu, let's have that forecast.
You know, it's cold. The hound dog finally got up because he heard me talking and figured it might be time to go out. Otherwise, let's talk about a sunny, cold day today. A lot of single digits. You know, we may top out about 6, La Crosse or Madison. And the wind chill still taking us down at 10 to 20 below with that northwest wind about 5 to 10. The wind chill advisory in effect until noon. Clear tonight and colder. A wind chill advisory 8 p.m. till noon Wednesday. Teens below zero, 15 or 16 below, with wind chills of 20 to 25 below overnight. Northwest winds 5 to 10. Sunny skies on Wednesday. Oh, single single digits, 9, maybe 10 at La Crosse, with the west winds 5 to 10 becoming south. Warming up Wednesday night. Thursday, mostly cloudy, a little light snow toward the afternoon, midday or afternoon. Upper 20s near 30. Southwest winds 5 to 15 become northwest. And then just to put it in perspective, Pam, by Friday, back to about 15 for a high.
Well, and we'll look forward to it. Very good. All right, buddy. Good luck with the hound and getting him outside. Mine did not want to go.
He's up moving. It's time.
Stumacher, ag meteorologist.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
If you've been injured in a bad crash, you might think the facts are so clear that you don't need an attorney. Big mistake. Insurance companies have many arguments to reduce settlements, no matter how clear the claim may seem. I'm John Raihala. At Clifford and Raihala, we have the experience you need to take on those arguments and win. Recent example, a young woman was driving when an oncoming car crossed the center line and crashed into her head-on. She was severely injured and paralyzed and needed experienced lawyers. Though her case seemed clear, the insurance company still came up with lots of reasons why they didn't want to pay. We fought for her and made sure she and her family received the full compensation they deserved.
For relentless dedication to helping you and your family, choose Clifford and Raihala, hard-working, skilled attorneys fighting for you, for justice. MyJustice.com.
Since 1995, the Global Positioning System, or GPS, developed by the U.S. military,
here we go,
has been operational for civilian use.
Please proceed to the highlight map.
Today, the men and women of the Air Force Reserve continue their vital mission, guiding you safely on your way while protecting the freedoms we all enjoy. The United States Air Force Reserve, guiding and protecting America.
Matthew.
Oh, sorry.
It's okay. I just need you to listen to me.
I know that a lot of times, Mom, it might not seem like I'm listening to you, but I am. I hear you. And what you say really does matter to me.
I mean, let's be honest. No kid likes rules, but I get why we have them. I hear you, and I know it's because you care.
All the talks we've had over the years, including what you've told me about not using alcohol and other drugs, they stick with me. And believe it or not, they really do make a difference, especially at times that matter most.
Hey, want a drink?
No thanks, I'm good. So thank you, Dad, for talking and preparing me for what's ahead.
Thanks, Mom, for never giving up and always being my biggest fan.
Thank you for letting me know what you expect, so I can try to meet your expectations.
Thank you for talking.
For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Matthew.
Huh? Oh, sorry.
It's okay. I just need you to listen to me.
I know that a lot of times, Mom, it might not seem like I'm listening to you, but I am. I hear you. And what you say really does matter to me.
I mean, let's be honest. No kid likes rules, but I get why we have them. I hear you, and I know it's because you care.
All the talks we've had over the years, including what you've told me about not using alcohol and other drugs, they stick with me. And believe it or not, they really do make a difference, especially at times that matter most.
Hey, want a drink?
No thanks, I'm good. So thank you, Dad, for talking and preparing me for what's ahead.
Thanks, Mom, for never giving up and always being my biggest fan.
Thank you for letting me know what you expect, so I can try to meet your expectations.
Thank you for talking.
For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Hi, it's Tori DeVito. In every family, small conversations can make a big impact. I grew up on tour with my parents. Kind of different, but we bonded over music just like other families do over sports, camping, or other interests. And we talked. Little everyday conversations from silly to serious that built a foundation over time. Honest conversations, like when my dad shared his experiences as an alcoholic.
Your honesty about that part of your life gave me a sense of integrity that I wanted to uphold in my own life. And I was so grateful that you and Mom had become these sober, stable people who were always there for me.
I wanted you to know from someone who's been in recovery more than 30 years now that hard work is what creates success, not alcohol or other drugs. whether it's music or anything else. I said it a lot, and I'm glad you took it to heart.
Talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
So you've bought that new house or condo, and everything fits just perfect with your style, except for that outdated bathroom. This private yet relaxing room could be updated with today's spa-like features from Actuate Improvement. Actuate Improvement is a full-service design and remodeling company specializing in kitchens, baths, and basements. Let's get the conversation started with a complimentary estimate, consultation, and suggestions. ActuateLLC.com. Design, create, actuate.
What is the Packers? What should never be is them losing to the effing 49ers by a score of 13-10. Good morning, Rob Reichel, Forbes.com, Conley Media. Robbie, what the, what did I witness on Saturday, Rob? What the hell was that?
Well, I'll admit, Evo, I'm a little bit surprised, but the way they went out was no surprise whatsoever. I'm sure if you go back, and I just mentioned this to Nelly, if he digs up a tape or whatever technical equipment you guys use these days, the old sound bites where you and I had a discussion in the last month of how and why this team will go down in the playoffs, I think I literally said to you, Evo, we're not quite sure who the opponent is. We're not quite sure who on special teams will be quote unquote the guy, but special teams will cost them in the playoffs. And as we talked about all last week, a couple of times when I was on your show, Evo, Aaron Rodgers and his legacy were going to be defined again by this postseason, because for the past decade, he had been absolutely, you know, borderline terrible in the overwhelming majority of his playoff games. And he was again Saturday night. So, while I am surprised, Evo, that we're sitting here on a Monday morning talking about them being out, the way they went out is no surprise at all. Special teams were obviously beyond dreadful again on Saturday night. And Aaron Rodgers had another playoff clunker, which, you know, those two items, Evo, should really be no surprise to anybody who has the radio on right now. You know, Aaron Rodgers has been a remarkable regular season quarterback for, 12, 13 years now, Evo. And in the playoffs, it's really one clunker after another. And I know Packer Nation hates to hear that. They call me a hater. They think, you know, whatever, I'm you know, a
Robbie,
devil.
You're a lover. You're a lover. You're a lover, Robbie. You're a lover.
I like to be. But at the end of the day, Evo, if people are honest with themselves and objective and really go back and break down why this team has been eliminated the overwhelming, you know, majority of time in the Rodgers era, the consistent theme here is Rodgers. And again, there's always a second
okay,
element.
Can I have just to be
yeah.
Devil's advocate here, Rob?
Please.
Like, Aaron Rodgers is going to be MVP coming up here. He's the reason why they're the one seed, and you know, apart, you know, the defense as well, that they're a one seed and they had the playoffs running through Lambeau. And I know it was an abysmal game for Aaron Rodgers. Like, I know that, but we've known the entire year how putrid the special teams are. We've said it week after week that they're going to cost us in a big game. The special teams, if they don't, you know, A, miss that field goal, and B, don't get that punt blocked, and then the touchdown that happened because of it, and then the cherry on the crap Sunday to see them have 10 men on the field for the Robbie Gould, you know, time-expiring field goal was just, to me, despite how bad the offense was, if the Packers would have done something to correct the special teams, we're possibly talking about a win for the Packers, despite Rodgers playing terrible.
Oh, not possibly, Evo. They win that football game. Let's not kid ourselves. I mean, San Francisco was not going to score an offensive touchdown. As much as I'll hammer Rodgers for how he played in that game, and he deserves every bit of it, Evo. His accuracy wasn't good.
Yeah, he played terrible.
Bad decisions. You know, people kept saying to me, you know, we're guys open. You know, he seemed to put all his attention on Adams, who was double teamed so often in that game. And Evo, there were guys open all over the place. So Rodgers obviously deserves, you know, a ton of blame for passing on some of those guys that were open because they were shorter check down type throws, Evo. You know, but back to special teams for a second. I mean, that literally was 13 points in the football game, Evo. It was obviously the seven on the blocked punt for a score It's the three right before half on the Crosby field goal, and then three to open the second half because Deebo Samuel returns the second half kickoff to the 50-yard line, and they only have to get two first downs right before they're in field goal range. And you know, you hit a great one there with the 10 men on the field that I think a lot of people will overlook and say, well, even with 11, could they block it? Well, the answer there was yes. I mean, again, the percentages aren't great that you're ever going to block a field goal.
The Niners did it earlier.
Especially Green Bay special team, you know? Units. Right, well, but here's the thing, Evo. That's a 45-yard field goal in frigid conditions, and that means, I mean, Gold probably had a max there, Evo, of about 50, and that might have even been a push. I mean, he's a 17th-year kicker himself, I think. He's much like...
Rough hands, dirty boots, and farming roots. It's all we know. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
This weather is nothing to fool with today. Wind chill advisory is in effect for basically the entire state. We'll see sunshine no warmer than 5 above on the thermometer. Wind chills that will take us minus 14 and colder. So you are going to have to be very careful if you're outside today. I'm Pam Youngke. So glad you're along with us. We're headed down to the UW-Madison campus later this morning for the beginning of the UW Ag Outlook Forum. That's going to run till 4:35 this afternoon on the UW campus. Tomorrow is Ag Day at the Capitol. If you're planning on going to visit with your state elected officials, better make sure that you're warm for that walk from Monona Terrace up to the state capitol. So it is the 25th day of January. What can I tell you about today? On this day, back in 1924, the first Winter Olympics began. They were in France back in 1924. First Winter Olympics on this day. In 1947, the first arcade game was patented, a cathode ray tube amusement device that is considered the ancestor of video games, was patented on this day back in 1947. On this day in 1937, the first broadcast of the soap opera Guiding Light. Do you remember watching it on TV? Well, it actually started on radio first back in 1937 before it pivoted and was a part of television. On this day in 1970, MASH, directed by Robert Altman, starring Donald Sutherland and Elliot Gould, was premiered on this day back in 1970. And now you know. Well, we know that the labor force is a problem for everybody, but in particular agriculture. Trying to find people that can take care of your calves, milk your cows, feed your animals, help in agribusiness. Well, let's just say everybody is under the same kind of stress. This morning, our own Stephanie Hoff brings us an update on how the state of Wisconsin is working with a non-traditional workforce to try to help get more employees into that pipeline. Would you hire from behind bars? Stephanie?
As Wisconsin faces a labor shortage, the state's correctional system is developing a non-traditional workforce. The Bureau of Correctional Enterprises is the Department of Corrections manufacturing enterprise. The mission of the program is to provide jobs and training for about 400 inmates. Agriculture is one of the four major program areas. It consists of two farms, including the Wapon Farm, which is home to a Holstein dairy herd of about 470 milk cows. The farm employs personnel from the John Burke Correctional Center. Sherman is one of those workers. He had never been to a farm before this experience, and now he's the lead milker.
I'm from Racine, Wisconsin. I played college basketball. I came home. I got injured. Got into selling drugs and ended up here in prison. Now I'm doing time in prison. I get out in a couple months. This was a blessing because I learned so much through this process.
Had you ever been on a farm before or in agriculture?
No, I had never been on a farm. That's why I wanted to come out here to experience new things, because that's what, like, prison really taught me how to become a man. So when I came out here, I wanted to see what this was like.
What were your interests as a kid compared to maybe what they are today?
As a kid, I always had dreams of going to the NBA. Now, I think I'm gonna be a pastor. I came to prison and I really found myself for who I really am, and I found the love for God truly, and it really changed me. I was a boy before I came in. Now I'm a man, so it's a blessing.
So how does agriculture fit into that? How did you hear about this job, and what made you take this opportunity?
I was working in the center, and everybody was saying how, like, there's cows out there, they're scared of them. It's a lot of maneuver around. So I just wanted to, like, I didn't want to take anybody experience. I wanted to experience it myself, because sometimes people say they can't do it, or it's this, it's bad, it's a lot of maneuver around. So I didn't want it to take people's input. I really wanted to do it on my own to see what it was like. So I wanted to experience this. I was more scared of them at first, but once people think cows are dumb, but they're very intelligent people. You tell them to do something, they pretty much do it. You don't have to really force them to do anything. They kind of know what the daily routine is. They're very intelligent.
How long did it take for you to get a hang of things?
It took probably 2 days to get a hang of things. I was a scraper, so I was like pretty much moving cows, and then they taught me how to milk. So like 2-3 days to really get the hang of things, but after like a week you really know what you're doing.
What does the work day look like here on the farm? How long are you here? What's the routine?
So we get here at 4 a.m. We go into the break room, we change, we start working around 4:30, prepping everything. Then we get the cows on the mat, start milking them from like 4 to 8:30, 9. We're milking all the cows. By 9, we're pretty much done with the cows. Then we clean up everything, make sure everything is very clean, and then get the cows back to where they live and go back to the break room, wash up, shower, and head back to the center by 11 o'clock. I just like to, like, really, like, I get to see animals and really just, like, it's like a different life that if I didn't come to prison, I probably would have never had this experience. So me being able to experience this, I could take it home with me and, you know what I'm saying, teach it to my kids. Like, I milk cows before because I got 2 little girls at home, so they always talk about cows, and I'm like, I experience cows on a daily.
Do they think of you as a farmer now?
They always ask, like, about, like, the maneuver. Like, they always like, do the cow maneuver on you or anything? I'm like, no, it's you get used to it. You get used to it, so it's not that bad. But, yeah, now I'm pretty much a farmer. I experienced it.
Most of our listeners are farmers, and everyone's been kicked, stepped on at least once, right?
Yeah. Things happen. Sometimes the cows ain't happen. We all have bad days, so sometimes the cow be agitated, don't want to be bothered with it, so he might kick you unintentionally, but most, they're not harmful.
What's it like, I guess, knowing where the milk comes from?
It's really a blessing to really just, like, see the process, because a lot of people only get to see the end result. So do you see how it goes from the cow into the system and how they transfer? It really, like, make you appreciate every step. Like, that's kind of like I look at every situation, even from me. Like, the process for me was in prison, how it helps me out to, like, watch how the cow just, like, goes from getting milk, and it's just all just a blessing, honestly, to be able to witness it.
Sherman tells me he appreciates the routine, organization, and technology in a farming operation. He says the only thing he doesn't like is the smell. But don't worry, he says, you get used to it. You can listen to the full interview with Sherman at the Midwest Farm Report podcast page. I'm Stephanie Hoff.
It's considered Wisconsin's premier grower event, and I'll be there. Coming up February 3rd and 4th, Kalahari Resort in Wisconsin Dells. It's the Wisconsin Corn Soy Expo. I'll be partnered up with my friends from the Wisconsin Soybean Association and the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board to bring you the latest from the Kalahari Resort. This year focused in on a lot of the supply chain challenges that farmers are going to be facing and the escalated prices that they're going to be looking at for all inputs. Find out more and get registered. CornSoyExpo.org.
Dr. Sean Conley, University of Wisconsin Extension Soybean Specialist, previews the mold, weed, and pest management topics on the agenda at the Wisconsin Corn Soy Expo happening February 3rd and 4th.
Damon is probably the nation's expert in white mold, so he will be obviously talking about some of the new and exciting research he's doing with white mold management, including updates to his Forecaster app, looking at new fungicides that have been approved for use in white mold, and just looking at better ways for farmers to sustainably manage that pest. In addition to that, he works on the corn side, and last year we saw tar spot quite a bit across the state of Wisconsin. And I think if you had any type of disease problems, or looking forward to next year when, you know, who knows what hat's going to drop next year, I think looking at Damon, and he's going to have some really cool research on the disease side.
Register now for the 2022 Wisconsin Corn Soy Expo at cornsoyexpo.org. February 3rd and 4th in the Wisconsin Dells.
What's happening in Washington, D.C.? What's happening with our weather patterns? How are you going to manage through supply chain issues in the growing season of 2022? I'm Pam Yonke, and they're talking about it all at the 2022 Wisconsin Corn Soy Expo, February 3rd and 4th at the Kalahari Resort in Wisconsin Dells. Register today online, cornsoyexpo.org. And be sure to join me as I broadcast live with my friends from Compure Financial on the trade show floor. Compure Financial, committed to agriculture and rural America. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, joining us live in just a moment. He's also a key presenter today for the UW Ag Outlook Forum happening on campus beginning at 9. Both Stephanie and myself will be in attendance. So the numbers are in. For the month of December, milk production across the United States remained flat, but not in Wisconsin. We saw about a 2 percentage point increase in our December milk production compared to 2020. Within our borders, 2.65 billion pounds of milk produced, up 2%. We had 1.28 million head of dairy cows in Wisconsin. That's 1,000 cows less than November, but 16,000 more milk cows compared to December a year ago. Each one of those cows in Wisconsin producing about 10 pounds of milk more this December than she did in 2020. But we are against the grain as a group. The 24 major dairy producing states saw milk production go down slightly in December. They had about 8.88 million head of dairy cows out there doing the job, but that's 42,000 less than December of 2020 and 8,000 less than November of 2021. I'm sure we're going to be talking about that with John Heinberg in just a moment. Yesterday in Chicago, barrel cheese dropped 3¾ cents to 177.5. 40-pound block cheese was down a penny and a quarter, closed at 179.5. AA butter even dropped 8¾ cents yesterday to 284¾ per pound. In overnight trade this morning, February milk is down 9, 2036 a hundredweight. March is down 15 at 2140 a hundredweight. As far as grain is concerned, March corn's unchanged. December corn down a penny at 566. March soybeans are up 4. November beans up a penny at 1309. March wheat is up 14. July new crop up 12 right now at 804 a bushel. All right, so what's going on in the markets this morning? What about the conversation between the United States, Russia, and the Ukraine? Is that influencing agriculture? We never run out of things to talk about with John Heinberg. He joins us live next.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Imagine a brand new maintenance-free look for your home's exterior. Have Prairie Exteriors show you options like architecturally designed siding, which can give you the look of cedar without the worry of woodpeckers or painting.
Improve the look and value of your property with one of the area's highest rated exterior companies, Prairie Exteriors.
Prairie Exteriors, now that's impressive.
PrairieExteriors.com.
If you're talking, they will hear you.
We all want our kids to grow up safe and healthy. So we show them how. And we tell them with honest conversations that let them know what we expect. Not just one time, but every chance we get. That's especially important when it comes to alcohol and other drugs. Kids not only need to know the dangers and how to avoid them, they need to hear it often from you. And when it comes to pain medications, opioids, they need to know that they should never be taken without a prescription and never shared with friends or family. It's dangerous and illegal. So talk with your kids and guide them through the challenges of growing up safe and healthy. Because when you talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
So talk, they hear you. You can do it if you try.
You want new floors, but you're not sure if you can do it yourself. With Wiseway Flooring designers and technicians, you'll have the knowledge and confidence to complete the job for a fraction of what you might think.
I'm Mike Yenser at Wiseway Flooring, inviting you to visit our showroom in Watertown, Lake Mills, and Econowalk.
See how our helpful hints might be the right thing for you.
Commercial or residential, the wise have it. Log on to ineedflooringnow.com.
From farm to fork and everything in between, we cover it all. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Alrighty, running 10 on time this morning, but we're joined by John Heinberg, Market Advisor, Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. One item I want to jump on right away, John, and of course remind folks again, John's going to be a key presenter today at the UW Ag Outlook Forum on campus. Give me your sense on the international discussion going on, Russia, Ukraine, United States. I've been getting a lot of emails and social media requests. What kind of an impact could that have on not just our commodity prices, corn, beans, wheat, but also input costs?
Yeah, it's a definite concern in the marketplace right now. It's definitely in the focus of what's going on, especially in the wheat market as well as in the energy markets. The strength that we've seen here recently, is especially in the wheat and what crude oil has been doing, is kind of tied to just those concerns if something were to occur over there in terms of Russia stepping into the Ukraine in an altercation, and then what's going to be the responses. You know, first off, we go start thinking about just the export hub and the wheat side of the equation as well as corn. Right now, about 24 million metric tons of wheat is estimated to come out of that region in terms of exports, 32 million metric tons of corn. So that's a significant number on the global scale. It's roughly about 12% of the wheat globally. 16% of corn exports globally come through those Ukrainian ports out of that Black Sea region. So that's some of the reason why, as the market's concerned about that, we've seen this nice rally in the wheat market also help lift the corn market to some of its highest price points here in over a handful of weeks or a handful of months. So we'll continue to see that strength as long as that stays out there. So that's the concern on the grain market side, is, you know, these global importers are concerned. Last year they got caught on the wrong side of the equation and they were scrambling to get supplies. They're just pushing into the markets right now and just want to make sure they got supplies taken care of and getting things bought here just in case those ports do happen to shut down.
Well, and I wonder about our input costs. They're already so sky high. And again, Russia's a player in that, aren't they?
Very much so. You know, they're one of the world's largest exporters of some of the fertilizers, plus the energy side of the equation as well. That's used to create and make those fertilizers. So that could be something that could come into play. Now, we've seen some prices start coming down. At least that's what I've been reading and hearing and talking about with some people, you know, but it's still obviously extremely elevated from where we are. So we could possibly see a spike again in those types of things, especially if crude oil were to continue its climb, pulling the other energy values higher as well. You know, right now we're looking at a crude oil market that might squarely be targeting the $100 barrel level. You know, even one analyst group came out and said, don't be shocked if we see prices blow through the $100 barrel level if an altercation did occur. You know, obviously that's going to have impacts across all the global markets from just the cost of energies. And that'll lead into what also we could see out of those fertilizer exports, fertilizer costs, things of that nature down the road.
Let's pivot quick, John. Yesterday, we got our dairy update. Again, Wisconsin going against the trend. The 24 major dairy-producing states flat, if not a little bit behind year-ago numbers. Wisconsin still strong.
Yeah, milk production continues to stay strong overall. As we got that milk production report yesterday, you know, they actually revised things down a little bit, in that regard. We were down slightly in December, as well as down 2% in the November side of things. But the biggest thing we're seeing right now in that milk market, even production is still good overall, but we're seeing these the prices of the cheese and coming down, and that's been what's weighing on the milk prices. Blocks and barrels have gone from $2 a pound down to about $1.70 or $1.80 level. So that's what we've been seeing pull back on this milk market. You know, we still just need to see more cows move to the sidelines. We were a little bit less last month, about 42,000 head less than last year, 8,000 less than November in that, you know, December report. So again, maybe we're seeing some cows move out, but it's just that combination of high inputs and, you know, keeping cows moving here just to make sure we can get milk produced to cover the costs.
Yeah, that's right. John Heinberg, Market Advisor, Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, along with us. I'll get to see him face-to-face a little bit later today. You ready for the crowd at the UW Ag Outlook Forum?
Looking forward to it. Haven't been out in front of people too many times here in the last couple of years, so it's going to be good to get out in front of people today and meet some people and answer some questions and cover those grain markets for the next year.
Yeah, excellent. And by the way, in case you're not attending the UW Ag Outlook Forum, they are going to make the presentations available via YouTube. All you need to do is basically search UW Ag Outlook Forum, and you'll be able to find all the links and activities there. All right, John, very good. I'll let you go so that you can get things picked up and pulled together and make your way towards Madison. We'll see you down on campus.
Sounds great. We'll see you later today, and everybody have a good week.
All right, John Heinberg joining us live this morning. Like I said, he's going to be one of the valuable partners that we're talking with a little bit later today at that UW Ag Outlook Forum. As I mentioned, their presentations will be made available to the general public via YouTube probably shortly after the conclusion of today's conversation, which, by the way, will not only include the outlook for commodities, but there's a special panel discussion. It's going to be happening this afternoon about the challenge with regard to controlling nitrogen in the farming environment. A lot of farmers from specialty crops right onto the row crops and dairy producers that are going to be involved in the conversation. I'll see you there. Rain gear? Can't live without it. It keeps you dry, makes those soggy chores much more manageable. Blaine's Farm and Fleet's got you covered from head to toe, literally, with great prices on rain pants, jackets, boots, and more. Shop in-store or online at farmandfleet.com.